بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى اما بعد فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القران المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ومن يطع الله ورسوله ويخشى الله ويتقي فاولئك هم الفائزون صدق الله العظيم The thoughts that are in the Muslim minds at the moment is a conflict with the Muslims. And some people are saying that this conflict has been carrying on for 75 years, 85 years, whatever amount of years. But today we're going down the corridor of history. The fight with Haq is not 75 years old. The fight with Haq is carrying on from the time of the inception of Sayyidina Adam ala Nabiyyina alayhi salatu wassalam. Just to give a little bit of history, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs from amongst the angels that now you'll need to make sajda. وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ أَبَى وَاسْتَكْبَرَ وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ Allah ta'ala instructs the angels to make sajda. This sajda is known as sajda ta'azim. Sajda is only reserved for Allah, but here the sajda was this of appreciation of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Aba wastakbara wa kana min al-kafirin. He disobeyed, he had pride, and he became from among those who were unappreciative and a lost cause. Now we all know, when a person cannot catch the grapes, then we say the grapes are sour. So this time Shaitan had taken some type of oats, and he had asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for respite. What is respite? The respite was to spite human being. And that was that I will dissuade them and I will lure them away from the truth. ثُمَّ لَا آتِيَنَّهُ مِن بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ إِلَىٰ آخِرِ الْآيَةِ That I will come from the right, from the left, front and back, and I will work upon human being to destroy him. So we have the history in front of us, that if you look in the dictionary, there's a word called vendetta. What's the word? Vendetta. It's a very powerful word. So actually what is happening here is a vendetta against the children of Adam alayhi salatu wa salam. And we Muslims, where we fall into the picture, is very, very interesting to understand. That Shaitan has got different modus operandi. He's got a system in which some of his impediments and hurdles, they'll be destroyed directly. Some impediments and hurdles, they will just subdue themselves and they will come in and accept what he's saying. But for a good portion of humanity, the way to get what he wants to achieve is through mental control. That means he will work on humanity to grab hold of their thoughts, to grab hold of their directions, so that they can be subdued. Just understand, it's Qurbani day. There's a bull that we need to bring under control. Some person is using a rope, someone is using a string, someone is using a strap, someone is using a chain. End of the day, we want to subdue this animal to get going. You and I, my brother Muslims, unfortunately in their eyes, in the eyes of Shaitan, in the eyes of those who are shayateenu min al-ins. Remember, there's the devil himself created from fire. But in order for him to execute what he wants to be achieved, there has to be some human beings also in the form that are carrying out his work. Because if Shaitan have to come himself and work with us, we'll all run away. So he has to put some kind of bait. When we want to give the child some medication, then we bait it with a sweet. He has to make something look lucrative, something seem very sumptuous, crumptious, delicious, tantalizingly amazing, to lure, to bring, to capture the person. So in this case here, there's so many things that Shaitan, you know, has put in front through his agents. And all of them can be understood under WWW, woman, wealth and worldly interests. So when we go home from here, for those homes that don't have a receiver, or probably the woman folk are busy, And they ask you, what did you hear from the khatib, from the brother that was speaking? Say, he spoke about www. But this time not .com, .akhirat. How to find this akhirat through all this woman wealth and worldly interests. Now, how do we become the spoke in the wheels? Remember, we're not wrong. Our institution is backed up by Quran and Hadith. This is the want and the command and the direction of Allah Jalla wa Ala. This is not some thought of, fathomed and brought up from human beings. So you and I, when we are saying we don't gamble wealth, we don't gamble. We're not speculating. We're not thinking. We're definite. We know. This is amalum min ash-shayateen. This is the action of the devil. When you and I say, hey, you're talking about interest overdraft. Sorry, we don't touch that. Give me another deal. We're not talking out of self-vested interest here. We are interested in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what he got to say. La ta'akulu riba. So forth and so on. The Muslim, when it comes to intoxicants, we all know that one way to control humanity, one way to control the brain of people, that to put them into intoxicants. Yes, there might be some medical benefit where a person can get some cure or something through some alcohol, but by and large, that thing has got no benefit and good for anybody. Go and see the hospitals, aside from fighting and brawls, how did it start? It started from people drinking. Accidents on the road, drinking, not recognizing mom, not recognizing daughter due to drinking. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved us. Kullu muskirin haramun. Every intoxicant, it is prohibited. There again, we are the spoke in the wheels. They will advertise it on the biggest billboards, put it into the most fancy of bottles. Let me tell you how they will advertise this. But you bring it in front of a Muslim, he say, look, bye. Go put it in a recycling glass. I've got nothing to do with this. Then bring about women. Women to walk the catwalk models. We say, kullil mu'minina yaghuddu min absarihim wa yahfadhu furujahum. Bring the greatest model from France. Bring it from Italy. Bring who you want. Bye. We look at our wife. This is our life. You can bring what you want. We won't look at her. We got nothing to do with her. Yes, you marry her. You look at her all day. So the woman luring. At one stage when they had lured Sahaba, or the close ones to Sahaba, then they put beautiful women in front of them, lined up, and the Sahaba, or those close to them, didn't even pay attention. They say, what have you brought in front of us? Rock? Stone? Because when a woman gets to the man's heart, then she can control his whole country, she can tell him what to do. After all, my dear friends, the wife is the one that controls the life, you know. So you know how it goes. Then they're bringing about prostitution. Or they can give it many fancy names, dating. They can call it online sites. They can call it being free and enjoying, the worldly pleasures. There again we say, matrimony is the way to go. It's a win-win situation. So whatever they are trying, when you're trying all angles, now let's just shift to a cricket match for about 30 seconds. Right? When you're trying every way to bowl, full toss, you're trying what you call curve ball, you're trying everything, and you see none of the things are working out. You're trying 160 kilometers an hour also. That batsman is not coming out. Then a coward bowler, what will he say? I can't bowl the stumps, let me bowl the player. I'm repeating that. This is an important statement. It's said in the language of cricket, but I'm taking you for a 6 year. My brothers, listen carefully. You can't hit the stumps, let's hit the player. If you hit the player, probably, he'll get mesmerized for that while, and on injury, that man's that bringing the score for the team, he'll be put in the box now. You have to bring a replacement that's an amateur. You and I, we're in the cricket pitch, and full toss they're bowling us, and everyone we're hitting it for a 6 week wing. The match score is going up and they can't tolerate it. So these atrocities, whether it is the carnage in India, whether it is Burma, whether it is Bosnia, whether it is Sudan, whether it is Palestine, and you've got a whole host of atrocities, carnages and genocides that have been recorded in history, not from now, from the time of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is documented. It boils down to this. Shaitan wants to achieve a goal. Shaitan has got his men. Like how Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Allah's man. I'm putting it in layman's term. And we are Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's men. So can you see the boxing match that is on? Can you see the fight that is on? Everything that they want to win with, the Muslim is the main impediment. Why do you not find other religions going through as much as we are going through? Because they just herd mentality. They present something with one, two of their emblems, and everybody is ready to go for it. They tried export and import of things. There again, the Muslim is the positive impediment. Give us halal, otherwise we don't touch what you're giving. They tried to make airports with whole host of things. If you walk into any of these big airports, you can work out the mathematics. What has all these shops got to do with the next gate? But it's to lure us into some type of thinking. But there the Muslim will say, you put me a Jamaat Khana. You put me a place for my Salah. You show me Qibla. You want to put me in a plane? We'll tell you, put me direction for the Kaaba. Whatever mechanism, modus operandi, you and I are the spokes in the wheels. So now that we know on which side of the fence we stand, what is our defense with regard to this entire situation? On one hand, every person here, somewhere along the line, is feeling helpless. From the beginning of this entire issue, it's not a palatable day anymore. You're seeing your little children, you're seeing the sunrise, you're seeing the blue ocean, but in the back of the mind, it's like the child in that ICU, how you can't enjoy anything. In the back of the mind, like how you have a toothache, no matter what's in front of you, it's still got a distaste. This issue is prodding the heart of every individual. Every person that got iman, that is seated here, or listening over the receiver, it's paining him. But what's paining him more, what's paining her more, is that you can't do anything about it. Physically, if someone is stuck under a vehicle, if there's no jack, 10 men, we'll get together, we'll lift up that car, get the person out of it. But here we seated here, we know where's Masjid al-Aqsa, we know where's this, we know where's that, but we know we can't move an inch. You just decide to fly in that direction, no visa, come back home. What are we going to do? Okay, we want to send wealth, we're not sure what's going to be of that. We want to send food, that also don't want to reach. And alhamdulillah, we're making dua. But let's take it further. Dua is the ultimate. Ad-dua mukhul ibadah. Ad-dua huwal ibadah. Dua is the essence of ibadah. Dua is ibadah. There's academic discussions on those statements, but I'm not going into that. I'm on another tangent. What can we do to win this race? Outwardly, you and I cannot be physically in Palestine at this moment. But wallahi al-azim, with regards to what they want to put forward into the ummah, if you recognize that today, and in the next 10 minutes, if we understand this and we can promote it in our families, we can promote it in our Muslim circles, trust me, we have gone far ahead, more powerful than sending a retaliation smart bomb and some rocket. We have bombarded the system in a very, very great way. And that is to understand. I gave this example at a family program a few days ago, and I'm reiterating those sentiments. Please look at me to appreciate how this example is going. Here is the map of Gaza. Here's Palestine, okay? And over the years, we have seen how much of the enemies have taken of the land. And for every kilometer or meter that comes under their control, we feel an excruciating pain. It exacerbates the pain according to how they progress or retrogress, whichever way you want to say, their progression, our retrogression and coming into our land. But today, my friends, today, my brothers, elderly and young, I want to make you understand, which I also want to understand myself, our body from head to toe is also a map of Palestine. Follow me. You can see the Palestinian map. It's not like South Africa is round. No, it's elongated. It's like Chile. It's got a long map. It's like a man standing there. And every inch that they have combated and bombarded, we feel pain. Now I told you that we are the impediment. How much of us have they got under control with regards to ourselves? Now please don't misunderstand Muhammad Ilyas Desai, that's my name. See, this man, he comes on a mimbar and he looks at people and picks on them. This is my topic that I've discussed before. It happens to be a repeat. So I don't look at any gentleman that is seated here. I'm talking haq. Otherwise, take my turban and go and wipe something with it. The cars are dirty enough. I'm speaking the truth, my brothers. When this was placed on my forehead, at my alma mater, it meant that when you go out there, you won't sweep things under the carpet. There's enough bacteria there already. You and I, how much have we subtly come under the modus operandi is an interesting point. Now I'm looking down and speaking this because I don't pick on anybody. A person that travels with me for almost all my talks say, brother, I see that you have gone on to another level on speaking on this thing. Because I normally do not give it as I'm giving it now. Who's used to me will know that I'm more of a light speaker than a heavy speaker. Heavy in size, not heavy in the speech. So brothers, when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has left us with a sunnah beard, and I say, I'm looking down, I don't pick on anybody. All of you are beloved to me, I'm beloved to you. But let's start off from one side. Has he not combated me with my beard size? Whatever academic discussion you want to bring. But if you ask a non-Muslim, how would you like the beard of the Muhammadan? We are not Muhammadan, we're Muslim, but they know us as Muhammadan. Right? Before Muslim, we are known as Muhammadan. So they know us as Muhammadans. How would you like the beard of a Muslim to be? He said, I like my his face to appear closer to my face. How would you like the reader of the Kalima, the one who testifies on Allah and follows Muhammad the Prophet, how would you like his dressing to be? Say, I'd like his woman to be more revealed and least concealed, and I'd like him to dress up in my fashion, whatever is the name of the fashion. You see, my friends, don't take it wrong. I love you and I'm speaking from the heart. There's no ulterior motive here. When a person is missing salah upon salah, he has fallen into the trap of his physical Palestine being bombed now. If his business dealings are corrupt and he's dealing with backdoor goods, he has now fallen wholesale into the trap of what they want. Remember, if you do hunting, no hunter goes in front of the animal and say, hi, deer, you're so dear to me, you know, and you're going to bring me a deer price. If you understand the English, you know, my dear is very dear to me. You can work it out after Juma. Hi dear, you're very dear to me, you're going to bring me a deer price. No hunter goes in front of the buck and speaks like that. He hides behind the bushes and lures that animal into some type of conundrum where he can then capture that, and the animal is then shot or pierced or it falls into some hole, and that's the end of it. You and I and the broad Muslim ummah, our sisters included, when you're cutting your hair, in the name of that I want to look nice, ask every non-Muslim sister that has got Islam peril at heart, who you're favoring and who you're helping. See, the game of chess is not something that is permitted in Islam. But by way of example, kufr kalimat, kufr nabashat, by mentioning something wrong doesn't mean it's right. If you understand the game of chess, similar to a draft board, you must remember there's moves that are being made. And if your opponent is a smarty, many times he will set you up to come for certain thing in the way that you think, I'm liberated, I'm gone ahead, I've got free choice, I'm the man. On the chessboard at that moment, you'll be making a move, only to be coming into the clutches so he can make the checkmate. Some people say, no, I know only checkmate, no checkmate. My dear brothers, this example of a chess game is not my words. Hazrat Maulana Yaqub Saharanpuri sahab, Nawwarallahu Markadahu Rahmatan Wasiya, whenever we would go to the Markaz, his opening statement, Bayo, shatranj ka khel chalu hai, wo bhi inke harkat kar raha hai, hume bhi sahi harkat karna chahiye. Should I repeat that, Baji? Woh bhi apna harkat kar raha hai. They making their moves and grooves. You also think twice how you are moving. It mustn't be that you get caught in the clutch. Oh, my beloved friends, if this talk from your brother has struck a chord in your heart, Allah, Allah, khair sallah, it is only the tawfiq of Allah. And I told you again, when I walked in here, I walked straight and I looked front. I didn't look right, left at anybody's dressing, anybody's face. Because when I look at you, I look at myself as not even worthy of the dust under your shoes. Really. But what I'm saying, understand that they are gaining momentum in this way. That one way to get people under control is what we are seeing. But a vast majority of control that is taking place is happening in the way like that. Like you see, when Lord Macaulay, one of these people who were governors in India, when India gained independence, 47 if I'm correct, 47, right? Then they said there's no need to further our agenda with these Indians, for they might be Indian in body, but in mind we have left them British. In mind we have left them British. That now their toilets will no more be low, we'll make it high. They'll no more think of the miswak, they'll think of the toothbrush, and they'll think everything white is right and everything west is best. Let's get out of that mentality, wallahi al-azim, and you'll feel empowered. You see this helpless feeling, and I'm terminating on this. I don't want to be stepping over time, otherwise I'll get Sheikh Azim saying, it's the last time. You know how it goes these days. So, my dear friends, what I'm saying here, if you want to be feeling good about this mission, you want to fight this mission, we don't have to be in the forefront because we can't get there, right? But let's fight it this way. Let's fight it this way. Let's fight it the right way. And inshallah, the momentum and progress that we'll get is one is we'll get recognition from Allah, approval by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, fit into the Quran, Hadith, and the battle will be won. May Allah ta'ala liberate us first of all. Save us from shaitan. Save us from nafs. Save us from the plots. And if we don't know there's a plot that is hankering after us, may Allah ta'ala open up our mind to see it. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين.